match.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate it here at the show. That's Joey D up there, aka Cold Cuts. That's Mikey V down there, aka Bear Down Cuz, and I'm the Ticket, aka the Ticket. welcome back, guys. It's 4th of July weekend here. It's Monday, the day before, and a lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about. You guys, first off, you guys got anything fun, exciting going on? Mikey V, you look like you're going to have a nice barbecue.
Yeah, going to a buddy's house, a little pool for the kids. But you know what? This weekend, it just falls on a Tuesday. It's like, you know, I got work Wednesday morning.
Oh, no.
You know, it's not going to be anything like crazy, really. That's the shit part of these when it falls on a Tuesday. It's like really the barbecue, really, ideally, if it was today, you know, you could get, you know, tie one on a little bit more. But tomorrow it's going to be a little calm. I think it'll just be, you know, let the kids play, let the kids have a good time, make it about the kids and regather for vacation next week. So
little Dom's got a little celebration ready to go, it sounds like.
No, Dom's already, he's talking about it for like the last 2 days. So it's, you know, it's all he cares about is going in swimming pools. He's obsessed.
Tick, we're going to the beach. Are you going to come?
Didn't even know about it. So no, I guess I'm not. I'm working.
These guys,
I'm working.
Bro.
I'm slaving, guys, man. Who are you going to the beach with?
Yardbird, Showtime.
Well, to be fair, I don't show up much anymore. So it's not get
the. Yeah, that we know. By the way,
Ticket. Ticket lives on the opposite side of town to the point where he's so far gone. He is in such a different area.
This guy's grinding the fucking tape, man. He's on the cutting room floor 22 hours a day. What do you expect?
You know, but you know what? They all, him and
Jenner. Think those videos make themselves?
Him and Jenner are also very similar. They like to go out few and far between. So like, I'll give you an example. We're going out to Tahoe, I believe July 13th to 16th, just to really like chill, connect with a bunch of different athletes out there, go to the tournament, do our thing. And they initially were going to send me, Bob, and FP, and Bob said, well, no, we want Ticket and Jet to come. And because they said that
they want us to work.
I was supposed to go to that. I was supposed to go.
Were you really?
Yeah, I can't go because it's literally the week of my family vacation. I can't go. Yeah.
So long story short, Bob says, you know, we want them to go. So we rearrange everything. They say they're going to send them. And Jet goes, I don't want to go. And I would imagine that Ticket's probably not going to go either. So
I told Bob I was in the whole time. I was like, just let me know. I need to get a hotel room?
They got you hooked up.
Okay, I would be very interested in going, depending on where we're at video-wise. If we got a few in the bank, I would be very interested in going.
The reason I bring that up is because oftentimes they will say they want to do things, and then the time comes, and then they renege on it.
Well, we're not sitting around with our hands up our ass, dude. We're fucking working, dude. We work all the time. So, and also the other thing too, with a place like this, it's going to be one of those things where people are coming up to you guys 24/7. I'm going to be holding a camera, taking pictures for you guys the whole time. It's going to be relentless. Now, if the five of us, the six of us, however many of us want to all take a nice trip to Hawaii, I'm in on that.
You don't want to go have some drinks afterwards with Josh Allen and Kelsey and some of these guys?
Because they don't want to have drinks with me. They want to have drinks with you guys. That's the thing.
No,
but
anyway, they want to hang out.
Anyway, let's get into the show. I may or may not be in Tahoe. Probably not. Probably just book me down now for not going. But a lot to get into. I mean, something pretty big happened this week, especially over at ESPN. There's layoffs. They let go a third of their employees over there. Yeah. It was impressive.
It was like the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones. Everybody just got fucking murked.
And is Mikey, it because of Pat McAfee? Is that why they did that?
A lot of it to afford him.
A lot of
him,
people
yeah.
think
a
so.
Lot
yeah.
It, a lot of it has to do with affording him. And I just think that they're just, yes, they told you, Disney told you that they were going to be making all these layoffs. So
one man's fortune is another man's folly.
He's getting a bit of a bad rap, I think, only because there's other guys at ESPN who they've paid huge money, like Stephen A. Smith. I mean, he was already there, but that's a huge chunk of money biting into a lot of people's paycheck too. So, I mean, they're investing more money into like a certain group of people instead of having, I mean, they had like 500 people fucking working there. It was unbelievable. It was like a circus act over there. But some of the big guys like Max Kellerman, Susie Colbert's another one. Keyshawn Johnson, Jalen Rose. Yeah, Mikey V, what do you think of all this? It seems like you like you like Todd McShay leaving.
Oh, I love McShay gone. And no offense to McShay. Like McShay, like you can't feel bad. These people are gonna land on their feet. They're gonna get other jobs. They're gonna be just fine. They've made millions of dollars, most of them anyway. But yeah, McShay to me was always like he was like second fiddle to Kiper, and I'm just such a Kiper loyalist that the McShay thing, I was kind of like, I just found it a little humorous. But yeah, they got rid of Steve Young and Susie Colbert and guys like Max Kellerman. I think they just wanted to keep, you know, the real eccentric, loud personalities. You know, Stephen A's a loud personality. Pat McAfee's a larger than life personality right now. Max Kellerman, a guy like that. To me, Max Kellerman was great. Originally when he was working some of those original shows that he did and when he was talking boxing, but boxing is like a dead sport, but Kellerman's really, really good with boxing, but that's not something that's going to get like major ratings. So it's kind of like, he's going to just, you know, I'm not surprised they phased him out, but
I liked him with Stephen A. Smith. I actually liked him.
Yeah. Right. I guess they just figure you put anybody with Stephen A and it'll work. Cause Stephen A is just, you know, he's so outlandish and outrageous.
I'll tell you who should have gotten canned. Is this Kendrick Perkins? How this guy is still standing and some of these other people got the axe is beyond me. This guy's a bozo. Did you see his off season NBA predictions?
Yeah,
he had like seven major predictions. I think one out of seven actually went to fulfillment.
But you know, a lot of
Brooke
these
Lopez
guys
are getting re-signed. This guy's all over the map.
A lot of these guys give those takes on purpose, though. They're just, they give those hot, like ultra hot takes on purpose just to create buzz and create conversation. It happens
good.
All the time.
He's as good an analyst as he was a basketball player, which is not very good. I'm sorry. He shouldn't be there. That guy. I'm apologizing to anybody who supports him because you've lost the way, my friend. You've lost the way a long, long time ago.
But Mikey V's point, he's one of the louder, more larger than life guys. People think he's funny. They like watching him just not get words out of his mouth. They like that shit. So
like a Skip Bayless type.
No, not like Skip. Well, I guess a little bit.
Is the same way. Skip is a clown.
Yeah, but like, yeah.
His
clown
takes are terrible. Colin Cowherd is another guy. Colin Cowherd.
Bob used to
guy.
Love Colin Cowherd, and
Colin Cowherd, when he was on radio, and he was only doing radio, and I'm talking like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, ESPN radio, he was actually, you could listen to him. And then he became like, you can't even listen to him because this guy will say something 6 months later. He'll say the complete opposite of what he said originally, and he won't acknowledge it at all. It's so bad. And they have these accounts. This one account on Twitter is incredible. It's called the Funhouse. And it basically monitors like New York sports talk radio more than anything. But they do a lot of Francesa, but they constantly rag on Cowherd. And they give the clips side by side of him saying one thing and then 5 months later completely flipping his opinion or his take without acknowledging for 1 second that he just completely backtracked.
Yeah. His herd hierarchy would send me into a tailspin on multiple weeks. I had to stop watching it. He would put a team like the Buccaneers in the top five of the NFL. And they like clearly were nowhere near to be there. Like, and it was like middle of the season. He's a joke.
Well, he was a product of that whole wave that came after Skip Bayless and everything he did, having cold takes on purpose, being calculated and not taking any accountability, it drew in ratings. People didn't want to hear good takes. They wanted to hear hot takes that they disagreed with. And Skip sort of changed the whole landscape of sports media, both on radio and on TV after that. And Colin Cowherd was one of the people that saw that, made money and followed that lane. And he's unwatchable. He's on watch yeah, now. He did it to himself. He did it to himself. But he's making more money than he ever has in his entire life. Yep. So that's just the way it is. I was a little shocked at Susie Colbert. I mean, she was a staple there for a long time on their football broadcast.
27 years. 27 years there.
You remember the Joe Namath when he
I want to kiss. I want to kiss you.
I want to kiss you, Susie. Drunk is a scary. That's an all-time moment. But
you know, Broadway Joe wants to give you a kiss. Give him a kiss, man. Not a lot of guys go out there and say they're going to win the Super Bowl and say, you know, and guarantee a Super Bowl win and actually do it. So,
remember when he flipped the coin at the Super Bowl wearing like a mink or chinchilla jacket?
Broadway Joe,
like,
man.
Such a bozo.
That's his fucking thing. That's his thing, is he wears fur jackets and just he's a little unbearable, to be honest with you. I'm not a big Broadway Joe guy. I don't like him. I'll just say that right now. I don't like him. I think he stinks, but he was a hell of a quarterback, I guess. I didn't watch, but that's what they say. All right, well, moving on. We got Ricky Fowler. He won for the first time in what felt like a million years. It was a pretty good tournament outside of the broadcast sucked. But it was a pretty good tournament. Joe, what'd you think, man? Would you like Ricky winning? How'd you feel about it?
I thought he's a class act. His interview after winning just kind of embodies what he's about. Guy is as classy as they come. And I mean, you had to think that he was knocking on the door for a few tournaments in a row now. US Open, he was leading the first 3 days of the tournament. You know, had a disappointing Sunday, but I mean, he's been really finding his game. He's been a resurgence in his game big time, his putting. For him to come back and tie on that 18th hole to make the playoff and then win it in the playoff with a birdie in the playoff, I just thought, you know, the guy deserves it. I'm super happy to see him do it. And quite frankly, he's a fan favorite. So it's great for the game of golf to see him back. You know, I think at one point he had plummeted down the FedEx Cup rankings. He was nowhere to be seen. And just goes to show, man, everybody has, you know, their peaks and their valleys. Everybody's got to go through it. And you know what? It's good to see him back in fine form. I think it's awesome for the game.
Would you say right now, Joe, that you're in a peak or a valley? I would say you're at a peak.
Well, that's scary, because if I'm at a peak, then I'm going downhill soon.
That's not necessarily true. You could hold that spot for quite some time. You know, it's a matter of staying on top of the mountain.
I hope it's a very high peak that I'm still trying to get to the summit, but I really don't hope I'm at the top, because the way down is going to be a scary, scary long way back. I really like Ricky Fowler, though. And Tick, are you a fan? I think you're a fan of Ricky, no?
Sure. Yeah, what's not to like?
I don't think anybody doesn't like Ricky Fowler, right? Like, I don't know too many people who are like, I can't stand Ricky Fowler. Like, there's so many other volatile characters in the game.
He was a lot more polarizing like 15 years ago when he was wearing the loud outfits. But I think people have – now that's more normal. I mean, now he's kind of helped create that become more normal.
Guys were always wearing loud outfits,
though. He really
– with the checkered pants and shit like that. Like, I mean, I don't know.
But he was wearing highlighter orange.
Orange, yeah. That was his thing. I mean, that was his thing. Yeah. I don't mind that.
He paved the way for Joey D. I mean, he's your guy.
Yeah.
I will say this. The first ever time I bought the all orange outfit, it was on sale. This was in Canada, and it was a Puma pants and shirt. That was a Ricky Fowler shirt. And I tried it on, and I just was like, I have to buy this. I had to buy it. But he's done a great job at like really like creating an environment of like for golf that makes people, especially in the last 10-15 years, a lot of younger generation of, you know, golfers wanting to watch the sport and enjoy it. He was a fun, like, exuberant, good guy, good for the game.
He is.
Doesn't hurt anything. I'm happy for him.
I'm in agreement. I agree.
Did you watch so, any
especially
of it,
after
though?
Watching the major, I you know, the last major and how close he was, and you know, a lot of people pessimistically when Sunday rolled around were, you know, I think a lot of people kind of felt like he was going to blow it at the major, which he did. But that's why I you know, I think this was really special for him, especially like you could see when he sunk that winning putt Like, you could see a wave of emotion. It looked like a grandbaby piano just got removed off of his back when he made that punt. He just stood there, like, no emotion.
He didn't even move.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the weight of the world must have got lifted off his shoulders in that moment. And that's very, very cool. That's very cool.
Over 4 years, he hadn't won a tournament.
That's what I'm saying. It's you know, that had to feel like Ticket said at the beginning of this segment, that it felt like a million years. Yeah. And I'm sure, especially to Fowler. And in that moment, I think you saw a guy who, you know, now he's married with kids, or he's got at least one kid.
One yeah. daughter.
And a baby too, right? Like young, like a little
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, I think he's got two.
Okay, so I think, and that's like somewhat recently. I don't think his kids are old at all. So that had to be very, very, very emotional for him, because as a dad, like when you have kids and you get married and you have kids, like when the kids are real little and they're born, like everything else really goes on the back burner. And for a guy like Ricky, who's been doing this his whole life and hadn't won in so long, it probably felt like, what the fuck happened to me? Like, what is going on? And that's why I think you saw that reaction when he made that putt. Like, it wasn't the putt sank. He gave a fist pump or jumped up in the air or started. He just stood there like a statue. Yeah. Like, that was a very cool reaction. If you watch that video, I watched it several times because I thought it was so cool. So good for Ricky, man. That's really cool. Really.
It
cool.
Also goes to show that it's not easy to win a golf tournament. No, man. No. And I think you know, we've kind of become used to seeing guys like Scheffler and Rahm and, you know, some of these guys just win countless.
We grew up
times.
With Tiger. I mean, we grew up with Tiger. It's guy just, fucking won every fucking tournament. It felt like Phil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you grew up with these guys.
Watching Keegan try to close it out the last time when he won, it was like, oh, please, God, just let him do it. It's very, very hard to win a golf tournament against some of these guys that you're going up against. You always have somebody at your nipping at your heels. In this case, he came from behind to win. It was cool. It was a good win for the PGA.
It's hard enough just getting a consistent couple of holes together where you can par, like, you know, just stay even.
You don't have to tell me, Dick.
To play four rounds. Me. I mean, Ricky Fowler's never been known as a four-round player, certainly not on the weekend. But it's good to see him sort of starting to put a few weekends here together playing well consistently, because it's another thing. If he did play well, he'd fall off the face of the earth again for a while, and then maybe he'd play well again next year. So it's good to see him building a little consistency. I mean, for the first time in a while, hopefully it continues, because he's definitely one of the more fun guys to watch out there. But did you guys watch this? The broadcast stunk, man. I get that it must be difficult to talk about almost nothing for 17 hours. But it is. And then coming off the match, I don't know if you guys watched the match with Steph Curry and all them. That was one of the worst broadcasts I had ever seen.
Yeah, I just was watching like the clips of it as it was going on. I refused to like actually watch the thing.
I also think the match
was just following along.
Oh,
it wasn't. There was no coverage at all telling when it was going to come too. So I came to sit down to watch it, and the thing had already finished.
Yeah.
Like there was really not much.
It's only 12 holes.
I would say that that's one of the things that golf needs. I think the game is in such good shape in terms of the players, the tournaments, the LIV versus PGA, and now that they've merged. And I think the game's in the best place it's ever been, probably. But that is the one area, if it's not Jim Nance, that's the area that really I think they could liven things up a little bit. I really think the TV coverage...
Bobby Fairways. Future commentator extraordinaire.
I mean, listen, just, you know, somebody just get, yeah, maybe a youth infusement into that arena or that aspect, I should say, of the sport, I think could pay dividends. I mean, there has to be something, and that's tough to do because it's tough to find a new voice for things like that. You know, you see these guys in the NFL, you know, when Al Michaels and John Madden and Pat Summerall, and then in college, you know, when Corso and Musburger and Keith Jackson, like, it's not easy to find those guys. I'm not saying it is, but I think that's the one area where I would like to see golf, like, go out on a limb and take a chance with somebody or do something.
They should bring
different.
Gus Johnson to the broadcast.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine Gus Johnson? God. Like announcing
an angel.
Oh, hold out. He's hold out. It's like a 2 foot putt.
Bro, Gus Johnson. I just saw a thing on Twitter.
He used to be the best, by the way.
That's so funny because they were showing the comparison, Gus Johnson and his partner on College Saturday. And they did the pairing, like a side-by-side photo. Who's better, Fowler and Herb Street or Gus Johnson? And I forget who he does the games with on Fox Sports and Fox. I forget the guy's name. And they were like, who's better at college games? And I said, it's Herb Street and Fowler with a bullet, because Herb Street is just so good with college football. He knows everything. And Fowler, to me, is a narrator. Like, Fowler is one of the last few storytellers in sports. He's excellent, Chris Fowler. I think he's one of the best to ever do it. Gus Johnson is a hype man. Like, he's a really good hype man. But he reminds me of, like, the guy from the N1 mixtape tour. He's like, oh, the professor, hot sizzle. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine Gus Johnson commentating for golf, though. That would be
spectacular. I'm saying, I think golf could use something like that. A little curveball.
Well, I think Live Golf tried to do a little bit of that. It was golf, but loud.
But nobody was watching Live. That's the problem. That's
it was an unwatchable. That was another unwatchable podcast.
Right.
It was rough. But I was over at the Jets. We were betting the match, which is such a bad idea. It's
whenever you bet secondary sports like that, like secondary spin-off sporting events, it usually doesn't go well.
It's like betting on a fight between our
Jake Paul fight.
Jake Paul.
We did have Tommy Fury though. We did have Tommy Fury. Good for Tommy.
I will say though, I'm not saying it's a good bet, but one of the most fun bets you can have. Like, same with football too. Like, I like betting per drive. Will it be a field goal? Will it be a touchdown?
Live betting.
Live betting, but specifically next drive. And same with golf. Like, right. I like betting this hole. Like, who's gonna win this hole? Are they gonna tie it? It's a tough bet to win, and the odds are only good if you're picking a tie. But it is, boy, is it a lot of fun. I mean, it's just like juice being injected into your veins. I'm mainlining.
I like live betting, but like, I like doing it by like, I like watching like college football actually is like my favorite sport to live bet. I love watching like a first quarter develop and then going for like 2 minutes before the second quarter starts, taking like the over under total for that quarter, something like that. I love doing that. But like, Dickie Gass came over the other night and we're shooting darts. We're watching baseball on both TVs. I mean, this guy wants to bet the next at bat result. Is it going to be a ball or a strike? Like, I can't keep up with that, bro. And He's a different level of gambler. It's amazing. Like, I can't live bet like that. I just can't. I like live betting, though. I do. And I think there's a lot of money to be made in live betting if you know what you're doing, because you're actually getting a chance to see how the game is developing, who's playing well, what are they doing well, what's working, what's not working. And if you know what you're watching, I think it is an opportunity to make some good money, especially college football, I feel, is really the strong sport to do that on.
Chat will do the next drive touchdown field goal
if they get
pinned within their own 10-yard line.
Yeah.
It's like the odds are so high it's like a field goal, it's like
the field goal attempt is usually the highest one, even more so than a touchdown.
But if they get within the top, interesting. If they get pinned within their own 10, it's like +750.
Yeah.
It's wild. So
the Jets is another wild boy when it comes to betting, bro. He's a wild boy, man. He's a wild boy. Closet wild guy.
The Jet would be the equivalent of like a wild stallion in the desert. He just can't be tamed. He's going to roam and he's going to do his own thing.
Exactly.
And
he is. That's what he is. The Jet's wild like a wild steed. Stallion.
He's just easy.
I agree with the live betting thing, Mikey.
He's a Clydesdale, just prancing around the desert, just not willing to be tamed by any man.
Mustang or Sally. Jesus.
Yeah, he doesn't pick the smart. I mean, he knows what the smart bets are, but they're not fun for him. I mean, this guy's betting for fun and with the occasional banger hit.
Yeah.
Which I like to do too. But all right, moving on. We got to fucking just touch on it just briefly, just because he's one of the best players in the league. Damian Lillard, NBA, he wants a trade. let's sort of keep it moving with this, but where do you think he's where do you think he's going, Joe? Where do you think he's going? I don't want to talk about it long, but where do you think he's going?
The Miami Heat.
You do?
Yeah. I talked to Teddy about this, and Teddy was talking to me about it. I have to say it makes a lot of sense. They need a scorer like that to really, you know, facilitate the offense, give Jimmy Butler, you know, some options to be the secondary guy. I think you put Damian Lillard on that team. It'll be interesting to see who they would have to give up for that. Or I'd love to see him go to the Celtics. I'd love to see him go to the Celtics. Could you imagine that? That
yeah, would be I think he may.
I don't think they can afford him.
I think he may end up on Tickets team. I think he's got a shot at landing with the 76ers. I do.
Really?
I think the Heat, the Sixers, and the Clippers. I think those are the three most likely destinations or fits that would work for him. But I think he could end up on Ticket Squad. I really do.
Wow. Now, is this ear to the ground stuff, or is this where you think it makes sense?
This is not.
Are you hearing this?
No, I'm not hearing it. Oh, but this is what I think makes sense.
Who does need him is the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks
need somebody.
They always.
The New York Knicks need a scorer like that, and then with him and Brunson and some of the other pieces they have, they'd actually have a superstar to get them there. With also, too, you know, a big presence in what's his name down low. Oh my god,
Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to stick around with Julius Randle though, bro. A lot of negativity around Julius Randle this last season with Knicks fans, and like just the temperature in the city on Julius Randle is very, very cool right now. People were not happy with Julius Randle in the New York metropolitan area this season. Justifiably so, I don't know. But I think Brunson, RJ Barrett, I mean, the Knicks need a scorer. I think, like you said, Joe, I just don't know if he's going to be around if they make a move like that. I don't know.
Maybe they give Randle up and something else and they bring in Lillard. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just think that, yeah. Like, I think he's – I have a feeling he's going to an Eastern Conference team. I don't think he's staying in the West.
Sixers, bro.
That'd be nice. I'll tell you what, with the Knicks, though, man, Julius Randle, the reason New York hates him so much is because they wanted him to be something he never was.
He was never a number one guy.
He was never a number one guy.
Yeah,
and I don't think he ever
would
have claimed to be.
You're not wrong with that. The Knicks fans are so bloodthirsty. Like, there's people, and I don't know, but there's a lot of people and sports media that will tell you in this area that the team that moves the needle most in this area, if they're good, is the New York Knicks. If they're really good, like the Yankees aside, the Giants aside, Jets, Mets, Nets, obviously, Rangers, the team that's like the pulse of the metropolitan area, if they're good, is the New York Knicks. And I think the fans are just so desperate to have that kind of a team again. And I do agree. I think they kind of blew up Julius Randle's ceiling or what he really could be capable of. And they paid him. And I don't think he's living up to the misguided, perhaps, expectations of what the fans thought he would be.
But do you think that that's because, like, the Knicks are, like, by far the most, like, celebrated and cheered for team within New York? Like, I don't think the Nets come close in terms of, like,
the Nets are in New Jersey. The Nets
are in New Jersey. No, but I know, but I'm saying every other like league between the Jets and the Giants, there's a big division between the Yankees. There's a ton of Mets fans. I feel like the Knicks is the most consensus, like, New York team.
Yeah. See, and yeah, they are. 'Cause they play at the Garden, number one. When they were really good, that was the truth. But to me, like, if you talk to me, like, 90s Yankees, like, I don't see how you could say that era of sports that wasn't the team that did but people will argue it to death because they play at the Garden, and when the Garden is rocking and they're really good, that's a different kind of animal. It's a different kind of animal.
Yeah, I think it's better for basketball when the Knicks are good.
It's 100% better for basketball. 100%. There's no question. It's the same if the Bulls are good. Like, it's the major market teams. Any sport is better when the major market teams are playing well and doing well. Like, I feel like, you know, as much as – and there's a lot of people that hate them, and that's part of the reason that it's good, because if they're good, a lot of people tune in just to root against them. So it's good both ways, really. You get the fans from a major market, and you get the people that want to watch to root for them to lose. So it works both ways.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, it's different with some sports. It's not always about major markets, but I think generally speaking, it is. I mean, like with hockey, hockey's always better when the Red Wings are good. And Detroit's not a huge, but so that's more the exception than the rule. I mean, of course, when New York and LA and Boston,
that's like a story franchise, though, the Red Wings. Like it's an original six. Yeah. Everyone knows the Red Wings. Yeah. That's, yeah.
It's an original six team. It's one of the, yeah. You know,
Yeah, that's true. And they just have such a historic past. I mean, they sort of built it for themselves the same way that the Bulls did. I don't think the Bulls were making basketball good at all before Michael Jordan, but their historic past now with Michael Jordan made the Bulls one of those teams. So I think the same thing with the Red Wings. And honestly, I wonder if it's the same thing with the Patriots in football. I don't think anyone would have ever said before Tom Brady, the Patriots needed to be good for football to be good. They were one of the most laughed at terrible teams, but they might be one of those. I think if the Patriots decided to find a way to be good again, I think it probably would be good for football, but football doesn't need any help. Football doesn't need any help.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't.
All right, moving on, guys. You guys give a shit about tennis? Should we keep it rolling on it? You want to keep it rolling?
Djokovic is going to win the Wimbledon.
I mean, Djokovic is 86 and 10 or 86 and 11 on grass in Wimbledon. Like he's
winning the Wimbledon this year. No,
but this guy though, I will tell you, this guy Carlos Alcaraz, the second favorite,
the Spanish guy.
Yeah,
he is. If anybody's gonna beat Djokovic, if anybody's gonna win, and it's not Djokovic, it'll be him.
Was he the guy making all those crazy trick shots like a year ago or something? No, he was hitting between the. It's not that guy.
You're thinking of the Australian guy.
No, not the guy who everyone hates. Who I actually really fucking like that guy. But no, it was like a Spanish guy. He was like either from Spain or he was from somewhere. He was Hispanic of some sort, and he was just fucking hitting between the.
Kyrgios, right?
No, you not like Kyrgios. I like Kyrgios.
He's such a piece of shit.
No, he's fun, man. He's a lot of fun. I would bet Mikey V gets a kick out of him.
Yeah, I like characters. That's for sure.
There's the one guy, the Italian guy is pretty good. That Sinner. He's like
Jannik Sinner?
Yeah, he's like Italian? He's the Italian. He's a top 10.
The fuck kind of name is that? Sinner. That ain't an Italian name.
He's Sinner. He's Italian. You know, he's actually a top 10 player in the world.
Sounds like sounds like a victim of assimilation to me, is what it sounds like.
You know what
like.
I will say quickly before we move on? The tennis athletes that have now, like the names that you're starting to see, especially in women's, I don't know anyone anymore in women's tennis.
I don't either.
It's a shame. I used to follow and watch tennis all the time. And even in men's now, aside from a few of the big names, I really don't know who's who at all. I don't know why. It just feels like the last few years, like since the pandemic, like tennis just kind of fell off the map in terms of at least like I used to watch it pretty avidly. Like anytime, like the French Open or Wimbledon or Australian Open, I'd watch it all the time. And now I just feel like it's just, I don't know. It's just not broadcasted well. Or same thing with like, you know, they need more coverage. Because I love watching a good tennis match, but I look around the field and I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are anymore.
Yeah. I think SportsCenter has a lot to do with it too. I think that's where people used to keep up with a lot of different sports at once, knowing who's winning, knowing who's not winning. And I just don't think anyone's watching SportsCenter anymore. I think that's the way of the past. I used to come home after night at the bar or come home after school.
Yeah, no, and nobody
always
watched it. Yeah.
I would watch it for hours. And now these pieces of shit, I went on ESPN. If someone used to throw a no-hitter or a perfect game, they would talk about it for almost a full hour or at least 45 minutes. Yeah. They didn't even have Herman on the front page of ESPN. You had to scroll down and it was like one of the links that you could click.
What?
It was like, what is... It was embarrassing, to be honest.
That was wild.
Did you see that though, Mikey V? That it wasn't even really being talked about. A perfect
game. Because to your point, I don't watch SportsCenter anymore. Like ESPN to me has become a watered down network of all of these rink-a-dink shows with boisterous personalities, which I understand they do well, and that's what sells, and I get it. But like they're force feeding you topics, even if it's the off season, and they do it with the NFL more than anything else, where they will just try and make up stories. Not that they're making it up. I'm not saying making up in the sense that they're telling lies. They're just, they're squeezing every single ounce of blood out of the stone, or trying to squeeze every single ounce of water out of a stone to just cover the NFL and cover the NBA. And I think these other sports kind of go by the wayside a little bit. It's and tennis being one, and sports centers, that was never a thing, but the advent of so much internet and so much social media and Twitter, it's like, you don't need to go to it anymore. And all right. The television availability, the streaming networks, like I remember the NFL, the only way you got to see what was going on in other games when I was a kid, because I remember it vividly, was watching primetime with Chris Berman and Jackson and not
Mark
Keith
Jackson.
Mark Jackson. Okay.
Yeah. Mark Jackson.
The guy, he played for Denver. He was a Denver Broncos.
The big guy. Yes. The big guy. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson. He played for the Broncos. Him and Berman doing Sunday night NFL primetime, 7:30 at night.
That was the only way. No miss.
Yeah, you couldn't miss it because you couldn't. There was no NFL Red Zone. There was no Instagram.
And then there was no other broadcast for other games.
No, you got the Channel 2 game with the Jets. You got the Channel 5 game with the Giants, at least by me. You got the Giants and the Jets. And then you would get one afternoon game, and it was likely the Cowboys or the 49ers. That's the way it worked, at least.
Especially
over by
Mikey
me.
V, when you got close to playoffs and you needed teams to lose for your team to make it. Yeah. And like you're trying to watch the scoreboards of other games.
Yeah. You got to watch the ticker. I mean, remember watching the ticker? And now it's so funny because you watch a football game, and when they cut in with the in-game highlight, you know about that highlight because it happened 20 minutes ago and you saw it on Red Zone already, or you saw it on the internet already. So when they show it in the game, it's like embarrassing. It's like, hello, this happened. Like, just stop doing it. Yeah. I don't even think they should or need to do it anymore because it's so delayed now. And there's so many ways you could watch it. Like, it's just pointless, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was. So
yeah, I would make the claim that in the last 5 years, the UFC has become bigger than tennis.
Definitely.
UFC is. I would argue that UFC is probably
bigger than baseball.
I don't know if it's bigger than baseball, but I would say it's got to be in the top four. And I would say it's bigger than hockey. And no disrespect, Joe. I would probably say it's bigger than hockey. I would say maybe it gives baseball a little bit of run for its money. The NBA, to me, I still don't understand, but I know that they do well. But UFC is like a top five power sport. There's no question about it. There's no question about it.
By the way, speaking quickly, and then we can move off of it, but some of these contracts for the NBA basketball are absolutely – do you know that Desmond Bane is making $40 million a year? Desmond fucking Bane from the Memphis Grizzlies is making $40 million a year. They are paying guys who are coming off the bench now 15-16 mil. Max Strus is a starter, but he's making $16 million a year. DiVincenzo's making $12 million a year. He was a bench player. The Knicks just signed him.
Yeah, they just recently.
What are the contracts? Brooke Lopez, 2 years, $48 million. It's crazy.
A lot less guys you have to pay.
I understand that, but McKinnon is the number one highest paid player in the hockey in the NHL, and he's making $12 million a year.
But you're also
Desmond Bane's making almost four times what he's making. He's a run of the mill player. He's above average. He's good.
A product of how much money your league's bringing in, you know. And unfortunately, the NHL doesn't make anywhere near as much as the NBA does.
That's my point, though.
So their company has more money to pay them.
This is my point.
But the NFL guys make peanuts compared to these NBA guys.
Oh, I know.
That's true.
The NFL rosters are way bigger.
NFL rosters, you're paying 53 guys on the active. You're paying your practice squad guys. I mean, you're paying 50 million coaches, because every year it feels like the coaching staffs have like 25 coaches on them, like assistant D-line coach, assistant outside linebacker coach. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, head coach, line coach,
special
D line, special teams, like, but it's so outrageously detailed and nitpicky in the NFL in terms of, you know, all these niches that the coaches fall in. But yeah, NBA salaries are just different. They're just different. It's just crazy.
Tell your kids to play basketball, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you won't get hurt. We're not as likely to get hurt. quickly, tell me if this is something that you might be interested in or relate to. I used to, if I skipped school when I was in high school, I used to stay home and I would watch the same episode of SportsCenter about four times. Then I'd turn on The Price is Right. And then I'd go, and then I'd go back to SportsCenter and watch it. And then Around the Horn would start coming on, PTI. I was watching ESPN all day. If I was
when Bob Barker left The Price is Right, that was it.
Well, of course.
I couldn't go to Drew Carey after Bob Barker.
I tell you what I would do, though, is I would watch some reruns. I would watch some old reruns. That's more entertaining than watching Drew Carey.
Little Jerry Springer action sprinkled in there in the middle, maybe. Yeah, why not?
Sure. Maury Povich.
You know, yeah,
maybe you catch.
Yeah, Maury you are good. Not the father. Yeah.
But Jerry, Jerry guys was like wild, dancing. Though. Jerry was wild.
Jerry was wild. Springer. But Jerry was fake.
It was fake. But no one gave a shit, though. But it was Maury, still awesome TV.
I think Maury
Povich was sadly real.
Yeah. You see who's taking over for Pat Sajak? You see that he's retiring and they got a new guy?
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest.
What a shit show.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Yeah, and Vanna White hired some like highfalutin attorney because she hasn't gotten a raise in like 17 years. She's but to be fair though, I understand fair wages, right? And like, but let's not act like she's making chump change. She's making $3 million a year to go
to spin numbers.
To turn a window.
But you can't say that because, you know, you say that and then you're, you know, you're being oppressive. But to me, you could pay me $250K a year. I'll do that job. And I'll wear the dress, too. I'll wear the dress.
I will say this, by the way. I watched the new Indiana Jones, which, by the way, is awesome.
I heard very it's good. I heard
but,
it's good.
My, oh, but to your point, it's no, but to Mikey V's point, it's kind of sad because the generation that we grew up with in terms of movie stars,
oh, they're all
sports
dying,
analysts,
everybody's
like,
dying.
Imagine when Jim Nantz stops doing the Masters. Like,
oh, that's coming.
Like, well, it's got to be coming in the next that's little coming. Bit. I mean, that's but coming. My point is like, this is generational people that we grew up watching, listening to, like, tuning into on TV, like, and they're all passing.
Alex Trebek.
That's my point.
I mean, Alex Trebek. I mean, I watch Jeopardy every night religiously. I used to, you know,
and still sad to see. It's really
it is.
You know,
it is.
It's like the old school late shows as opposed to now when you got this Jimmy Fallon moron running around like an absolute clown show. I mean, what happened to the good old, you know? Mikey V, am I wrong?
Oh, you grew up. No, I mean, we grew up with Letterman.
Jimmy
and
Carson was unbelievable.
Who?
Yeah, that's not his name.
Johnny Carson was like, Johnny Carson was the greatest. And then Letterman and Leno were very
good.
Letterman
was awesome.
Letterman was fantastic.
Yeah,
Letterman was really good.
I agree with Joe, though.
He was witty.
Guys, and it's like, but it's just different now, man. Like, if you watch the Johnny Carson show and you watch reruns of the Johnny Carson show, it's unbelievable. But if you said half the things that were said by either him
canceled.
Or his guests, you would get canceled because now nobody is permitted to laugh at
even
anything.
Leno was
and even
on...
if you're laughing, even if you're laughing with the people that you're making fun of and they're laughing at themselves, it's like not, it's still a problem. And sure. I like all those, like the Dean Martin roasts. If you've ever seen a Dean Martin roast, like they are piss your pants hilarious.
Yeah.
But again, if they did that today, everybody would get canceled.
God forbid.
And it just stinks. Like comedy is like, and Chappelle says it all the time. Like it's just comedy. You just like people are offended by fucking jokes.
The world has gone soft, Mikey V.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucking baby thighs.
Soft. Those
it's baby thighs soft.
Double ply toilet paper.
Those old fryers.
Charmin soft. Charmin. Yeah.
Those bears love to shit. Those bears love
they do love doing some
poop. They made a lot of money doing it too.
Well, you know, a bear takes a shit. You know, it's got to be like a big old load.
Big old bang. Well, I thought that they used the bears because the old adage is the bears shit in the woods.
That's another good point. That's a fair point.
Yeah, I thought that's why they used them.
Yeah. That may be true.
Yeah. Those old Friars Club, like roasts, though, all those ones.
They're unbelievable.
Oh, man. When you had, what's that guy's name? Don Rickles.
Don Rickles. Don Rickles is a national treasure. He's so funny. and you know, Red Fox and sure, all Red those Fox. Nipsey Russell, even, like all even those
Eddie,
guys.
Eddie Murphy used to toe the line too.
So did Chris Rock. And Chris then Rock, it's yeah. like everybody just, you know, it's just, it's
Chris Rock's. I don't want to get too far off, but did you watch Chris Rock's new special? It was tough. It was.
I didn't, because I already know what it's going to be. I already know how awful it's going to be. Now, his original stuff is so funny. His
yes.
original stand up stuff is so funny. So
yes.
funny.
How much for just Ooh. One rib?
moving on.
Is that
moving
the guy on. Will Smith slapped?
Yes.
Yeah, that is the same man.
Maybe
that is
him again.
Chris Rock, yes.
But see, that's he was one of the funniest motherfuckers on the planet, and now people are like, is that the fucking guy that Will Smith fucking is that the Fresh Prince? Did he slap that guy?
Remember him with Chris Farley in the Beverly Hills
Ninja.
That's great.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
We have gotten off track, gentlemen. We yes, have we gotten have. Way
the,
off
the
track.
The train has gone off the rails.
You look like the kind of guy that loved Beverly Hills Ninja.
Oh, I loved it.
That was
I loved
absolutely
it.
Up your alley. That was
Chris Farley so good.
Yeah, Farley was Farley's unbelievable.
So good.
All right, boys. Let's get the train back in there. Before we get to who's a problem, let's quickly run through a couple of these crazy fucking things that Mr. Anderson sent over to us. Did you guys see Wilson Contreras? Do you see what this piece of shit's doing these days?
Yeah, it's so
calling pitchers what? Pitches that his pitchers can't hit.
What a loser.
Pitchers can't throw.
What a fucking idiot. I mean, first of all, there's only like 8 pitches. I mean, I know there's all these hybrid pitches now with the cutter of curve and all these crazy pitches. But come on, man. Figure it out. If you got a fastball, that's rough.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, listen.
I could care less.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
there
I mean, go, the guy's but... being paid $1 million. I mean, he's being paid like $40 million.
I just don't understand how it happens. I don't understand how a manager allows it to happen or you got to do something. Like, something has to be done. I don't understand how it could go on for a prolonged amount of time or multiple times without something happening. But I guess that's what it is, because they're paying him all that money. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you see the other thing that Mr. Anderson sent to us? This telephone box MMA thing?
That is one of the stupidest things I have ever.
I could watch a lot of that. Point...
You liked it?
I could watch a lot of that.
That's up there. That's up there with the slapping. The hand slapping.
I could watch a lot of that too.
Come on, Tit. Come on.
I love that shit, dude.
That's so stupid, man. And you know what makes me laugh is like those guys like think that they're really tough guys. The guys who do that and just take like allow themselves. It's just bizarre to me. It's just so bizarre. It's just it's a brain cell frying.
It's so stupid,
garbage
man.
Entertainment, but
I love
guess
that
I
they
can't
start
say too.
You know what it is?
Like some
people normal. Like a quick fix nowadays. The Bobs
oh,
of
bro,
the world like to watch something quick, fast, entertaining, and doesn't take much stimulus to follow.
That's a shame,
along.
Man, because there's nothing like the reward of a slow burn. A sure, slow man. Burn, anything. It's just so much better of a reward, man. It really is.
You're right. Wrong.
Get to the best segment in podcast going right now, because I think Who's a Problem is one of the greatest segments in podcasting right now. That's my opinion.
Kick us off, Mikey V. Kick us off. Who's
this is a very far-fetched one, but I implore everyone to watch this. If you haven't started watching it, it just came out last week, I believe. Netflix, American Gladiators, Muscles and Mayhem. Not the 30 for 30 on ESPN.
It's a whole series on the on
Netflix
the
docu-series. Yeah. Yes. 6 episodes. Wildly entertaining.
American Gladiators, it's called, right?
American Gladiators, Muscles and Mayhem. Story of American Gladiators. This guy, Nitro, one of the original gladiators. He's a problem, this guy. this guy, a very emotional story that he told, but you can tell that like he's lying about half the shit he's talking about, blatantly lying to the camera, blatantly lying to everyone's face about like how he comes off as like pretending to be this really nice guy. And like everyone else who talked about him in the documentary is kind of like just dismissed him as like a real sneaky scumbag. Basically, this guy was a problem, but these stories from American Gladiators, please, please. If you have Netflix, take the time to watch this series. If you ever watch an episode of American Gladiators, I remember watching it every Saturday. I remember watching it every Saturday. It was wildly entertaining to me. I thought it was incredible. I had never seen anything like that. And now they have American Ninja Warrior and all that shit. That all came, even the Squid Games show. This is all kind of based off of American Gladiators. American Gladiators was the first show like that. It is wildly entertaining. And this guy Nitro was a problem. He's a problem. He, quite frankly, still is a problem, I think.
What is that? I've never seen the show, nor the documentary, nor this new show. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, American Gladiators is basically a show invented in 87. They had six seasons, and it was six guys originally, three girls, three guys, Malibu, Gemini, Nitro, Ice Lace, and Zap. Yeah, there they are. There's the OG Gladiators.
Okay.
So basically what you had was six juiced up former athletes, all on steroids, all with sick tans. They all look great.
Look at that guy. Oh,
yeah, that's Nitro. God. That's Nitro.
That's Nitro? Nitro.
Well, the guy on the end, the guy in the middle is Malibu. Malibu only lasted one season.
The guy
season.
With the
they
headband.
They got rid of Malibu.
You're talking about, right?
The guy with the headband. Yeah,
that's the guy. Yeah, he's out of control.
So, Tick, basically, these six people, they would bring in, like, you know, but unbeknownst to me, in the beginning seasons, they were bringing on as contenders, they were bringing on, like, legitimate athletes to contest against the Gladiators, and the Gladiators were kind of getting the shit kicked out of them, but they would do, like, the Pugel jousting on the platforms where he got knocked off the platform and fell. They had the one where you go inside the steel cage ball. That was called like the Atrosphere or the Atlasphere or something like that. And you had to roll it over. They had the one where you just carry a football and do a 20-yard dash and see if the guy in the Gladiator could tackle you before you cross the end zone line.
And there was a live audience. Wild.
So as a kid, I'm sitting and I'm watching this, and I was big into pro wrestling as a kid. I love pro wrestling. I don't know anyone in my age group that didn't watch pro wrestling as a kid, because that was the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior era. This was like real people doing, this was not staged. This was fucking people hurting each other. It was crazy. So the docuseries, though, it goes behind the scenes and what these people were doing when they went on tour, on the road, on the bus. My God, it's wild. It's like Motley Crue. It was like a Motley Crue documentary. Incredible. Watch it. Give it a watch. And Nitro, you're a problem if you're listening. You're a problem. Still to this day, you're a problem.
All right, Joe's your problem.
I'm going to go back to a guy that I've already ragged on multiple times, but never in this segment. Draymond Green is continuing to be a problem. He showed up on the match. And he was talking all this shit. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Completely clueless. And
what,
then
talking about golf, you're talking about?
Yeah, he didn't belong there, man. The guy's an idiot. Yeah. No, it's just stay in your own lane, man. Like, nobody wants to watch Draymond Green. And then the thing that really pisses me off, he goes out and gets a $25 million deal a year, four-year, $100 million for a guy that can't make a layup anymore. I mean, this guy is as one way in basketball as it gets. He's good defensively, gets rebounds, steals. He's a whiny little bitch. And for him to be making $25 million a year, it's a problem.
He did lose 10 grand to Von Miller. So that should make you happy. He lost 10 grand because he bet the NBA guys, and Von Miller had Mahomes and Kelsey.
Lost 10 grand and then went and signed a $100 million deal.
Yeah. I mean, 10 grand is like blowing your nose to Draymond Green, but even still.
It's like pennies on the dollar.
Yes.
Von Miller did a good job, though. I thought. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous role that they even had those two guys.
I agree.
They didn't need it at all, but to have to do that job, I thought Von Miller did fine. He stayed.
Von Miller's good.
He is good. I like
him.
He's good.
He kind of looks like Roger Steele.
Yeah, he does a little bit. Actually, you're right. That's a good call. That's a good call. Yeah, he does.
I had to do a double take to make sure who it was.
Who's Tickett's problem?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's a problem. I mean, I tell you what, you stick around, people love you long enough, you're going to be torn down. And I'm here to start the process if it hasn't happened already. Charles Barkley's a problem. Charles Barkley's a problem.
Charles is done.
You're going to get eaten alive.
Charles
that.
Tickett's
good. Tickett had a couple good weeks in the comments.
He did. He had a couple strong weeks.
He's going to get absolutely body bagged.
Charles Barkley's a national treasure, who told me that I don't love America because I was ragging on the national anthem. I mean, I don't know if I had the best week in the comments, but this Charles Barkley, man, the match. He was there. He looked like a shell of himself. He's always been Spacey. We get that. That's part of his charm. That's what we like about him. It's so funny to laugh at him. We love doing that. Well, what are you talking about, Charles? He is so out to lunch now. And especially when he does this golf stuff, we get it. The guy likes golf and he sucks and people love to laugh at him. That does not mean he deserves a chair there next to Ernie and Trevor Immelman when you're talking about golf. I'm sick of him. They were doing all these charades of hit. They were so awkward. And maybe you can put that on the production team, but they were just him trying to hit putts and there was so much dead space. He didn't know what he was talking about. He was trying to make jokes. None of them were landing because he's not funny because he tells jokes. He's funny because he says stupid shit, and he was doing neither that day. I am so sick of Charles Barkley. I've seen enough of him, and if I have to have him, Shaq better be there. That's all I'll say. Those
you know what I think of that take it. Ticket?
Sure.
I think it's terrible, man. Terrible. Because Charles is a national treasure.
Sure.
He's a national treasure.
So you'll never sell Charles.
Never.
No,
never.
I don't think you can.
How could you sell Chuck? He's the best.
Sick of him.
How about when he said he doesn't mind gambling all his money because his family's a bunch of freeloaders and he doesn't want to have anything left over for him? I mean, this guy is just, he is one in a fucking billion, Charles Barkley.
I love him. I'm done with him, and I think he's a problem. Charles, you're a problem. You're a problem, man. All right, let's move on to some of the viewer questions. We got some good ones this week. We'll start with Nathan here. Back to fantasy.
Love the fantasy talk.
They do.
Yeah, well, 'tis the season. You know, your drafts are going to start flying off the board in another month. People will start drafting in August.
So. Sure.
Wow.
'Tis the season.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than an early draft.
Because you never know.
You don't know who's going.
You never know. Yep, you're right.
But you do want to be drafting by the time late August comes around. At least one of the leagues you don't care about as much.
I
like getting a few reps in before the big
one. We drafted from my league, literally, I'm going to tell you, the same day last every year, season. The Tuesday before the Thursday night game. The opening game of the season, we drafted that Tuesday. And that way you know everybody's status. Yep.
All right, great. Well, I mean, I don't have a trophy for you, but that sounds like a good idea. I think we drafted.
I'll be back. Good... Ticket. I'm like, I know you will. I'll be back.
I know you will. You'll be back to lose again. But
whoa!
fuck you.
Nathan wants to know, Mikey, for fantasy, will you guys be doing a live stream of the draft? And Nathan wasn't paying attention. We did one last year.
I guess maybe he's concerned if we weren't going to do it again. Maybe
we should.
What did you guys think? I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought that was.
I'm going to tell you what we should do.
It was tough for me.
I'm going to tell you what we should do. We should do a live draft.
Oh,
we should do a no. A draft together in the same room with the board. That's what we should do.
Well, that's what you guys do.
It could be wherever. I don't care wherever. I'll fly out for it if I have to, but whatever works for everybody. But that would be special.
Would you get like the proper board like they have in the league?
You got to get the good board. We could expense that board. Okay. We got to get a good board. We're not going to do that and have a fucking Kmart board. They can't do that.
You gotta have like the names and stickers.
There's this board, this one draft board company that I've used for years. They make a board that's like $200, $300, but it's like the size of like it's the size of my wall behind me. It's crazy. That's the kind of board we need.
And they're not
I
as good.
I would love to do that. I think that's a great idea.
That'd be awesome.
They're not as good, but ESPN and CBS and these NFL.com, I think, might even do it too. They'll send you a board. They're not as good as the one that Mikey V's talking about, but they'll send you one. And it's still better than just doing it online. I mean,
you do the live draft Saturday morning. Okay. Follow this. Saturday morning live draft, boozy draft. Saturday morning college football season, week 0. The weekend and then you draft right into college football Saturday and then you take off from there. That would be something
special.
That would be something.
Dickie Gass wouldn't be able to contain himself. He'd be
no.
Well, Dickie Gass would be lucky to find himself in the league still after the performance he put on last year.
Wow.
Coming after the commish. Coming after the commish that way.
Richard taking too many strays tonight.
I will say this. You know what? My other league that I've done for like a dozen years now, it's we've done a long time. What is fun is we do have a live draft. And what the guys end up doing is they have side wagers whose team will do better.
We did
all these things like side bets and this and that. And what player? So like taking Nye saying Trevor Lawrence is going to be better than this guy, and then you put it down and you have statistics for the year. And
we have to implement something. Maybe I had it in my league where worst record has to do whatever at the next draft. They have to be a servant to the winner. So because we dress or something. So Louie Lunalu lost 1 year. He had the worst record, and I won that year. I happened to win. And he had to dress up in a French maid outfit for the entire draft of the year. I have the pictures, Joe. They're unbelievable. I'll send it over in the Audi chat. And I mean, but he did if you got guys who are game to do that, he did a phenomenal job. He just got me drinks all night. Like whatever I wanted to do, he had to do it. So I think those kind of things really make the league more interesting too, Joe. When you do worst record has to do something up, because it keeps guys bought in if they really don't want to do that.
Yeah, or even do like the consolation round playoffs is good too, right? To see like you put a little bit of money in the consolation for the bottom guys so that they still have something to play for. Because otherwise you get some of these bottom feeders, they didn't even set their lineups, you know.
Yeah, so we threw it together real last minute last year. And I just wanted to get the guys together to do something. But this year we'll be taking a lot more time to properly run this league, and we'll have all kinds of shit like that. Because last place has got to do fucking something, because they just stopped playing. They stopped playing after week six.
Last place has got to do something. And I think we discuss the draft, because I think that could be something that could really hit well.
Well, we got to make sure we don't run into your draft. The draft you do with the boys.
I don't know. I am only in one other league now. This league and one other league that I've been in for years.
I'll tell you this.
I dropped my league. I couldn't do it. I couldn't commission more than two leagues. I got too much going on. I couldn't do it.
Anything more than two leagues is so tough, because
it's too much now, bro.
You're playing against guys on your roster, but then you're against them in another league. And it's just, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, you got
to
cut back.
And to be a commissioner, I mean, Ticket, you know as well as I do, you're dealing with
psychopaths. Yeah.
You're dealing with babies. I mean, it's insane. That's why I said I'm not doing it anymore. I'll just be the baby from now on. I don't want to take care. I got two babies, real ones. I don't need a
Ticket did rule with an iron fist.
He did. That's how you have to be, though, as a commissioner. You have to. It's a not popular job. It's a very, very thankless job being a commissioner of a good league.
You got to pay attention to the rules, and don't only come at me when they've now affected you. Pay attention. Know all the rules. Okay? They're all there. Yeah. They're all on the fucking website.
People say Alaskan King Crab Fisherman is the most dangerous job in the world. I'd say you've never commissioned a really good fantasy football league. Because I think that's the most dangerous job. You're catching fucking heat every angle from everybody. When something goes bad, goes wrong, forget it.
Yeah, fair enough. Great question, Nathan. We'll be doing one one way or another. I don't know if it'll be like last year, but we'll be doing something. Brendan. They're casting a movie for The Sportsman. Who's playing each of you guys? Joe, who you got? Who's playing you?
Who's playing me? Oh, jeez. Me, Hugh Jackman.
Come on, dog. Are you serious?
I would have said early age, skinnier Dom DeLuise. That would have been who I would have said.
Dom DeLuise is huge, man.
I said skinnier earlier, Jesus Dom DeLuise. Joe, I said that purposely. I said skinnier earlier, Dom DeLuise. Very similar humor to you, Joe. Family-oriented Italian actor slash chef. I think that would have worked for you. For me personally, but Joe's got Hugh Jackman, Wolverine. Okay. I'm going to take Vince Vaughn. I think Vince Vaughn.
Oh, Vince Vaughn would be good.
I'd take Vince Vaughn.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I think that's all right. I mean, that's pretty good. Is it because he's tall? Is that why? Or you think your sense of humor is
similar?
The same?
Humor. I think a lot of people have said that sometimes, you know, very similar in mannerisms. Sometimes I don't know. I don't see that. But I would say Vince Vaughn just because of that. I would cast Bradley Cooper as a Ticket perhaps. But Ticket could go ahead for
that. That's nice. You know who I'd I'd take Joaquin Phoenix.
Like wow,
that's a great.
I could see the Joaquin Phoenix.
Me too.
Yeah, he's already playing. You do a very good job.
He's already playing the Jet, though. He's already playing. He can't. Sorry. He's already playing the Jet.
You're right.
Jeez.
Man, the Bradley Cooper thing got me off guard. Mikey.
Well, who's
nice.
The guy?
American
who's
sniper.
The guy, who's the guy from Jurassic Park?
Chris Pratt. I got him a lot, too. That's also
Pratt. Yeah.
I'm the Walmart
Pratt
of both those guys.
I'll tell you who else I'd like to take is Keanu Reeves with short hair.
You guys got similar hair. I will
Keanu Reeves, actually. Actually, hold on. Keanu Reeves for Cubs may actually be very much.
Yeah! Look at that.
And just the way Keanu talks sometimes, like, what? Like that, I do think that could work very well, Joe.
You believe this?
I think that's my guy.
This guy said Hugh Jackman. That is the most wild thing I've ever heard in my entire life. First of all, you look nothing like him. Not because you aren't Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is a much better one. I like that one.
Yeah, he was saying with the Hugh Jackman play.
Doesn't even have black hair. He's not even Italian. There's nothing about him. He's just
Hugh Jackman's
handsome,
got black hair.
He sings and dances. That's what that guy does. And occasionally
he's got black hair.
He does. The Greatest Showman.
I'll tell
starring
you,
Joe DeMar.
I'll tell you who would play me is Will Arnett, the guy who shares my last name. The guy from
that's a good one.
I think I kind of look like him. We got a similar hairline. He's funnier, drier, but he could
similar
do the job.
Similar hairline.
yeah, we do. It's unfortunate.
I think the Chris Pratt thing.
Chris
Pratt definitely
take
works.
It. That's fantastic.
That's a couple good ones that you got.
That's
there,
real nice. Yeah, I mean, Keanu Reeves is pretty fantastic. He's like the coolest guy on planet.
Very on point. Very on point, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, all right, great
I
question.
I know John Brandon. Wick, Joey Wick.
Joseph Wick.
Yes, Joseph Wick, yeah.
And then you got the dog too. That's the other thing. You got the Frenchie. You got the
I'm
whole package.
You, man.
You're ready for the role, man. Then we got Cade. Cade's got to say, what is he saying? He said, if you could change into a movie or TV show or movie character, which one and why? If you want to make it about sports, what athlete and why?
Wait.
So this is not someone playing you in a movie that you think would play you well. This is if you could change into a movie star or an athlete. Who would it be? I guess whose life would you want to have?
Oh, a movie star?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be...
You could also pick a character in a movie is what this guy's saying, or TV show. You could pick like Don Draper.
I mean, this
Draper,
is all over the place.
Example.
Are we picking an actor? Are we picking a character? Are we picking a
you
sports
can,
person?
He's throwing it all out there. And if you want to make it about sports, what athlete and what? You could pick anything. You could pick a character in a film. You could pick a... fucking whoever you want to be. I don't pick
how about,
one.
How about
this guy's going to be Beverly
Goodfellas.
Ninja up here.
De Niro from Goodfellas.
Yeah. You're a crook.
That's fair.
The guy's on top of the world.
Yeah, I mean,
no, not Goodfellas.
Until
he went
to federal prison.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean Goodfellas. I meant the Casino. The Casino, the word.
Yeah,
De Niro's
he did not
like the,
yeah, yeah.
He's Sam, like the
Sam
the
Ace
Rothstein.
Sands.
Yes, yeah. Rothstein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Imagine running Vegas tick.
Sounds great. That sounds wonderful. I would love to run Vegas. Mikey B?
Man, I don't know, man. That's a loaded question. I guess athlete-wise, if I was going to be any pro athlete, I could step into
Jeter.
No, I don't know, man. It's a weird fucking question.
Whoa, Kate's an avid listener, man. It's a great question, Kate.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just shit. It's so all over the place. Tick, how about you? And then you give me a minute.
I'll pick, you know who's cool is Danny Ocean from Oceans 11 and 12 and 13. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about running Vegas? How about I rob it, Joe? How about I take it for all it's worth?
I'll take it. You're a bad man.
I'm a bad man. Me and my 10 boys, my best guy. Or the Frank Sinatra version where Frank Sinatra plays Danny Ocean.
Wow.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
That's I say, Mike, if you don't go sports athletes, just join us, do a movie character.
Yeah, let's simple it up. Yeah.
I guess, I mean, Sinatra's a great one, really. I mean, it really can't beat that. Give me, maybe I'll pick a sports movie character.
Okay.
Yeah, give me, well, this is horrible, man. I'm just drawing a blank all over the place here.
Kevin Costner on Draft Day.
There you go.
That's who Mikey V's going to be.
Yeah, that works just fine.
Give you guys had a great draft day. I mean, you guys really turned nothing into something.
We did.
Great question, Cade. And from Tim, the last one we got, what's your greatest highlight from your personal playing days? I imagine Joe Poke checked Crosby or something of that effect. So yeah, when you played hockey, what was a personal? Yeah,
it was never that high. When I played hockey, we won the, we got to the finals of the provincials one year when I was an Adam hockey player, probably like 11 years old. So we won our regionals and we went to the provincials. We had to go to the buttfuck nowhere up north, northern Canada. And we did great. We lost in the semifinals, but it was an awesome run. That probably was the highlight of my, you know, hockey career in terms
You played with Milan Lucic.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's quite something.
I played with a lot of good players. Believe it or not, Tick, I was an avid athlete when I was younger. Those days are gone.
No, do believe it. You were balancing on medicine balls. You were just quite the time.
Mikey V?
Probably my senior year of high school football, crosstown rival, intense game every year. I think in the 4 years I was there, I think we split the series, but my senior year we did win, and I was playing nose tackle at the time on defense, offensive tackle and nose tackle. And I think I had like 2.5 sacks that game, I sacked a quarterback like right on the goal line almost. It was almost a safety. It was like one of those wins where it was like it meant a lot to everybody. And it was a very electric crowd and everyone was going nuts. And it was like a very close game that we won very, very narrowly. So something like that. That was definitely a highlight for me that I'll remember for a long time. And my homecoming that year too. It was another great game, but.
Take any 40-yard field goals that we need to
I was just going
to
say, it's probably the football game where I kicked a 40-yard game-winning field goal.
That's got to be it.
It's got to be it. Yeah. I didn't do – I mean, there's not a lot of huge memories that I have. I mean, most of the memories that I do have came from, like, when I had a personal victory against a friend of mine, like a pitcher. Like, I had a couple nice hits. I shelled a guy who was a really good friend of mine in baseball. Nothing – I didn't have any big – like, I was ever the MVP of something. Yeah, there's no, like, game-winning thing that happened. Just a lot of good, smaller personal victories. Yeah, like beating up on a good friend of mine. So that's about it. Yeah, hit us with another one, Joey.
University hockey. I played for Simon Fridge University. We went to the finals.
What was that college? Simon Fridge?
Simon Fraser University.
Okay.
SFU, we were called. And we went to the finals, and I got a shutout and was MVP of the game for the championship.
You were?
I was.
Did you get a shutout?
I did. Wow. They're calling me Shutout Joe. It was the only shutout I had all year.
Wow. Shutout Joe.
That's great.
We got Joe That's Wick great. And Shutout Joe.
Man,
Joseph, all right, boys.
Shut myself out.
Why'd you stop playing again? I forgot. You were really good. Were you injured or what happened?
No, I started going to school and after that, like, organized hockey was like through university. We did that for a couple of years, and then that was that, Tick. You know, I played in some beer league.
You reach a point where, like, if you're not, like, it don't keep going.
There's guys I know who made the NHL. You mentioned Milan Lucic. I know a couple other guys, but like, there's also guys I know who had all the talent in the world and they pursued it and then they blew their shoulder out or they got knee injuries or multiple concussions. And now, you know, God bless them, they're coaching hockey for a living. And, like, you have to go back and because you're missing school, you're missing all this shit. You have to retrace all your steps. So it's a big sacrifice to take because if you don't make it, you know, then I have no guys who wouldn't have played in Europe and, you know, overseas for hockey. And, you know, they make decent money. But, like, once you're done in your 30s, you're done. Like, that's it, man. Like,
dude,
your shelf life is not that long. So
the kid I went to high school with, he was baseball, basketball, football. He was the best player on every team. He was 1,000-point scorer in basketball in high school, which was a big deal. He was a straight-A student. He got a full ride to Harvard to play baseball as a pitcher. This is how good he was. First team All-State pitcher through mid-90s. He played in Harvard, went to the Indians, played for the Indians for a couple of years, but could never make it out of the bullpen. Like, that's the best. He got up to the majors. He got called up to the majors, pitched a couple games, I think, in the majors out of the pen. And then he spent the rest of his career in Japan. Like, but it just goes to show you, like, you can be the absolute best player
in your county, in your state. And when it reaches a certain level, like it's so hard to make it all the way. I don't think people really realize how difficult it is. Another buddy of mine, same thing, football all through high school, unbelievable player, went to UConn, played offensive guard at UConn, tried out in the pros, made like a practice squad with like the Chiefs, and that was it. Never played another down, got cut, and that was it. Like, it's so hard, man. I don't think people really realize how difficult it is to make it in pro sports. Like, it's so, so fucking hard.
Yeah, I knew a number of guys who kicked it around in the minor leagues, going from A ball to double A ball, back down to A ball.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them had a cup of coffee in triple A, and it was just like, and then you're right. Then you're all of a sudden you're 28 when you realize you got to hang it up, and you got, like Joe said, you got to retrace all your steps and go back. It's kind of sad to watch. It's unfortunate to watch someone reach for their dreams and come up just a little short. All right, boys. Let's end it on a high note like that.
Well, 4th of July is tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, happy 4th of July, everyone.
Celebrate safely. Don't pull up Jason Pierre Paul and blow your fingers off doing fireworks.
Well, this will actually come up the day after, so.
Oh, well, I hope you didn't blow your fingers off doing fireworks for Jason Pierre Paul.
Dude, the amount of people out there who think they know what they're doing with fireworks, and they have no idea. And
I have no idea. That's why I don't even touch them. Sparklers is about as far as I'll go.
I spent a little time in the South, man, down in Charleston, and everyone thinks they know what they're fucking doing. Everyone blows a hand off or gets injured every single year. They're getting fucked up too. They're drinking. Just be careful. It's ridiculous what people think they can do with fireworks. You have no idea what you're doing. All right, boys, another good one. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, do it to the YouTube, for the Instagram. Fire your questions into Mr. EA Anderson. He will kick them over our way, and we will answer them on the show. Have a great 4th of July, gentlemen. Have a good time. Be safe. That's Joey D up there in the top left. That's Mikey V down below. We are the Sportsmen. Till next week, folks.